Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8.
Yeah, we can get some over here. I should have gotten some of all the. Gary's usually in charge of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of.
Harry, did you see the. So, here. The two main elements of the celebration of Rosh Hashanah are the blowing of the trumpets or the shofar and the reading of the law. Now, the shofar is interesting in that it's the main thing. It was blown over 100 times on each Rosh Hashanah. And it's a ram's horn to bring to mind the sacrifice of Isaac, and that Isaac was allegedly spared so that by the ram. And it's blown throughout the year. It's not just blown on Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, an interesting thing happens in that it's the only day of the year where the shofar is blown, and all other days it's a silver mouthpiece that's used. But on Rosh Hashanah only, it's a gold mouthpiece that's used to blow the shofar, indicating gold is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So the shofar was blown 100 times during that 24-hour period during the birth of Christ. And we know which psalms were read. They're part of the readings for that the Levites were singing those psalms. And then the law was read. Now, there's the law. I mean, what is law? Because they call, Christians call everything the law. They call everything, the first five books of the Bible are the law. The Torah is the law. When it says the law, it's a specific section of Scripture that's meant. It's Exodus 20 through 23. But what's the response to the law is the question. And that's what we remember in Romans. The purpose of the law, if you believe Paul, and if you believe many other places in the Scripture where it's alluded to, the purpose of the law is to shut up your mind, or shut up your mouth. Because you can't do it. You've either got more to do than you've ever dreamed of, or you have nothing to do. And you have to get that in your mind. And even if the nothing to do results in your starving or you die from thirst, you still have nothing to do if you believe God. And this is why the dependence, faith isn't a commodity. Faith is reliance on God for every single thing in the universe. No more leaning on your own arm of understanding. No more figuring something out. Your only response is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love is a verb there meaning give breath to. And in doing so, you will love your neighbor as yourself. And what that means in terms of practical aspects is the only thing you will do, you have no other interest in life except him, and the fruit of that is that you will then meet need. That's why the word business is so important, because the word business in Greek means to meet need. So, again, your only interest is to meeting your needs, everything is met in dependence on God. You have no concern for self, but as the mystery flows, then you make no plans for to meet need, you make no plans for what to do, because the law has shut up your mouth, your mind, the 70 voices and mouths in your mind, and this mouth. So you only walk in this moment of dependence. You never leave it. You never return, even for a split second, to your own arm of understanding.
You know, hearing that, it's like, wow, so easy and so simple. And then it's But I know I'm not doing it all the time, whenever. But, you know, it's like being found simple and easy, and it's like, but why can't I do that?
Because your mind hasn't, the mouths of your mind haven't been shut up. You haven't brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There are still mouths of your mind, of your Sanhedrin, that you listen to, and therefore you automatically, by doing so, by giving breath to something that your mind says, or even going up to the mountain to try to solve something, you have, or he has, if you will, raised himself from the deadly head wound with your acquiescence. And there's no difference. It doesn't matter whether you're president of a billion-dollar corporation or you're a pauper on the streets. The response to faith is never different. I hope and pray that you see this, because this is the time to see it. There's no difference. What?
Oh, I was just thinking about in the little legends of Satan and legends of vampires and stuff. They can't just come into your house. You have to invite them into your house, as opposed to saying no.
All right. Now, Ezra, in chapter 8, describes a phenomenon. And so let's...
Nehemiah,
I'm sorry. But it's about it. It's talking about Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra and Nehemiah were the... Well, I might want to go there. You can go look that up yourselves. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man or one person into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah. The trumpets are blowing now with a gold mouthpiece to indicate this is the birth of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And even the Gentiles, even the pagans, recognized it.
So in the Sanhedrin, they were aware of all of this, and they used the gold mouthpiece, and they blow the trumpet 100 times, as opposed to what?
Well, it's different. There are different feasts they blow it. But
yeah.
And the reading of the law is him.
Right. Now, as Christ is being birthed, Ezra, or the scribe, or whoever it is at the time, is reading the law describing him.
All this, and then they reject him. There's something funny about this.
All this. How many times have you rejected him yesterday?
I accepted him in my heart a long time ago.
Oh, isn't that big of you? That must be really big of you.
Welcome him into my little prayer closet.
Yeah, that's really big of you. That's really nice. This is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You're going to accept him? Wow. That's really nice of you. What?
I know he's relieved.
I know,
so
he's been...
I'm happy to hear people laughing at all that part of my French bullshit jargon. What my mother calls Jesus is my boyfriend.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which didn't say pulpit, by the way, but that's all right. That's, oh God, I was doing so good earlier, and then I started yelling, and Merritt came. I made fun of Gary. Who else? Well, I would never make fun of Gary or Harry or any of those airy guys.
You know what's really cool? That there are all these witnesses. Stars, parables, wise men, prophecies.
Every word.
Movies.
Songs, movies, television. Caterpillars.
It's just cool.
All right, great, everything. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Metaitha, or whatever it is, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, all his other guys. Now, what was their purpose? Their purpose, and we don't have time to go through who all these were, but they're really important. And Ezra opened the book in the sight, and it's not a book, it's the scroll. He opened the scroll of Exodus, opened it up, and read what we now think of as Exodus 20 through 23. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. So be it. Amen, amen. And with lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Yeshua and Bani and all these other guys and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Priests were priests because of a birthright, but many of them were stupid. They had not any understanding. The function of the Levites was to explain the law, even to the high priest. Now, what did they explain? They didn't explain, oh, it means you should do this on this day. They revealed the mystery of Yeshua HaMashiach in the reading of the law. Just as Abraham saw his day and was glad, now you're going to see these folks saw his day and were glad. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now that's the function of studying the Bible. That's the function of satyrs and minions. Not to give your little opinions about all kinds of crap, but it's to reveal the mystery of Jesus Christ in each of the persons present. And lay down your life unto death, if necessary, for whoever is in your presence. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why? Because they saw the impossibility of ever accomplishing it. They saw their own hopelessness. not how they responded to their hopelessness. They wept. The beginning of wisdom is now their fear of God. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your only strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be you grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared unto them. Now just like every other human being, they're hardwired for self-seeking, so they had this incredible experience of seeing him, accepting their own death. A few minutes later, they're out being concerned with the cares of the world. And that's why the function of the Levites is not only to teach by understanding, it's to live the life, Levites, I mean, all the things, whether they're Levites or priests or offerings or anything, are the Trinity Foundation or anything. We're not the church. We just show we reveal it, and you reveal it. The purpose of the Levites was to show that the idea of wanting an inheritance in the world is ludicrous. Because you can live by the fullness of life without the trappings of the world system, without an inheritance in the land, because your inheritance is in the true land, not this shadow. Anybody have any response?
How did the Levites come to their understanding in order to be able to?
Because they were dead. The Levites, for every child born, there had to be a Levite, and they symbolically accepted their death sentence. That's the mystery. God required the firstborn of every creature, including man, for his offering. And instead, the Levites were given. So they too were a type of the offering of Christ.
Yeah, they would have understood that they were the...
They were the... They,
instead
they,
of everybody having the firstborn having to die like...
They would have died. They saw themselves as dead unless they were stupid.
There may have been a few stupid ones.
There probably was. There's always a bunch of two-bit disciples.
Sons of Aaron.
But this is big time. This is why this day is so important. It's time to stop chasing shadows, chasing little dreams. Awake, awake, you who have fallen asleep in life. That's what the... Let me read it exactly. Well, there was... Now, the big thing that happened in this day, remember, is that Moses ascended the mount the second time. So he first ascended with the law, and then he ascended with the law written on your heart. This is big. It's first they believed in Jesus, now they live by the faith of Jesus. So no more teach every man his neighbor know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. The potential. There's nothing that I can teach you. Psalm 47 is read seven times. That's the other
27, isn't it?
No. 47. Psalm 27 is read the 30 days previous to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Psalm 47 is read seven times. And they walked around the wall because of Jericho, because Jericho is it means, remember, the fragrant city, the wall of fragrance. The fragrance is your thoughts, their sweet thoughts that you all have. Little fantasies about life and your... And that they had to, they marched around the wall seven times. The people were willing to destroy that part of which is in the promise. It's the first thing in the promise after they crossed the Jordan. The first enemy. And that enemy, Jericho, is you, your mind. You had walls 12 feet thick. And they had human skulls embedded in the wall facing outward, so that it was great fear on anybody. And that's what you... You're Jericho. You're all the people. You're mass murderers. Or all the skulls out there. Everybody that you've left, you've murdered spiritually. So your wall is full of these human skulls. But at the sound of the trump, the walls crumble, if you're willing, in the day of his power. But if you want to continue on giving breath to the really, really, oh, but it's such a beautiful place. It's, you don't understand, Ollie. My mind is really nice. So good. I have so many really good ideas and really good thoughts. And
that's the sweetest dates.
It's a stench in anybody's nostrils who has seen anything. Can you see why I've made fun of your ideas your whole life or since you've been here? They're goofy, pitiful. Pitiful is Josanna's word. Goofy is my word. What's that funny, Carolyn? So the first benediction is, Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hath sanctified us by thy word, has instructed us to hear with understanding the call of the trumpet, the shofar. And blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive, who has kept us in life and has sustained us and privileged us to reach this time. And the benediction. I've got to get all these things in one place someday. At the beginning of the day, the rabbi proclaims, Awake, awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life, and reflect on your deeds. And again, the rabbis say that's the call to remember the words of Solomon, the wisest man. I have seen the travail that God has given to the sons of men to be humbled or emptied therein. Reflect on your deeds. They've all been dust. I don't care if you've won the Olympics, you've still eaten dust. I don't care if you got great ideas. The best that your mind can give you is dust for your food. You gain sustenance and satisfaction from these imagined things, and you're just eating dust. You gain sustenance from acclaim from other hunks of dust, and you're eating more dust. Or you get upset because some other hunk of dust doesn't pay you the respect you think you deserve. So you're eating more dust. Awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life. Reflect on your deeds and remember only your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after the vain things. Forsake all your ways and your thoughts. All your ways and your thoughts, for they are of the evil one. Now, the reason this is so hard to see is because we've cut ourselves off from the law. For us, the law is the law of the ethics of relativism. Those people down there weren't looting. They were just getting diapers for their babies. No, they were looting. Oh, I fudged this ticket of my this bill a little bit, but I wasn't. It wasn't an evil deed. I was just trying to help my kids. No, you were looting. Your deeds, your ways, the best that you can be is evil, because it's of the evil one. And as long as you continue to use that which is cursed, namely your mind and your emotions, to try to gain that which is blessed, you will remain locked in the kingdom of darkness. And even that light that is in you is darkness, and how great is that darkness. That's enough for today. Any expansions on the tail? Did it touch anybody?
I didn't remember that they did that on the first
history. I heard that part. To hear with understanding is the transformation. Only understanding that can be heard is through Christ himself, because he understands. If we understand, then we'll just try and use it for our benefit. So it's it implies your death, his life.
Yeah, the understanding is just like I said for the Levites. As the Levites understood, they were dead. The priests understood, they were dead. The high priest understood he was dead. Otherwise, he couldn't be in service to God. So every one of these things is simply a mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And every jot and tittle of the law, of the Torah, is a picture of this mystery, the one mystery.
Is this the one day of the year that Satan has no...
No, this is the day he's confused, and Yom Kippur, he has no power. He's confused because how could... You know, this is the day that... It was one of the days that he said he looked... Well, he can see all days because he's not regarded. But he looked and saw... He knew this was Rosh Hashanah. He knew this was the birth of Christ. He looked and saw that little afterbirth covered baby that's going to not be able to talk and speak, not be able to, incontinent, nothing. And he said, I can't worship that. And so he was confused. That's why there's nothing about the temptation of Christ, or your temptation, that can be seen as a benefit, because then Satan won't be confused. Then
his destruction, his tormentor, is the one who is going to vanquish him, comes as in total weakness. Doesn't make sense.
Right. So that's why. If what you want or what you think about or is esteemed among men, then you know it's an abomination unto God. And if what you're saying is pleasing men, you know you can't be the servant, because then you're making yourself and your words are trying to become acceptable to the God of this world, the one who has the right of first redemption.
Where do you look in here and in yourself to know how to articulate? Because there are times, it's one thing to understand, accept, and see.
You don't. If you look into yourself, well, or look into this for the purposes of anything, then you can't do it. You just have to be.
I believe, therefore I speak. It's sort of the
same difference. There's no how-to in any of it. It's, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee, I have no will but thine. If you can say that at every second, you will never have to worry about what you're going to say and when you're going to say it. You just be. But if you're trying to learn how to do it, then you're just another hunk of flesh that's trying to use his mystery for self-realization. Oh, but I've got a real good purpose for it. I'm just trying to help somebody. No. Well, it's a lie. You're probably trying to figure out how to explain it so that you don't have to. Well, Paul, what Paul said about this, you that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, constrain others to be circumcised so they won't have to suffer the persecution for the cross of Christ. Most of us want this. What we want is we want to be able to explain this so we'll have high esteem in somebody else's eyes, or it'll justify our stupid lifestyle.
I meant more, you know, I'm sure people are asking you and interviewing you, and you don't have a practice to how you talk about it. You talk about it in the moments that people interview you and want to know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same for everything. You never give thought to what you're going to say for anything. The only thing that we give some thought to in terms of, because it's the set times, are these feast days. So that's why those are the only set times of the Lord in Leviticus 23. And they're the set times because of the major events in Messiah's life. And that's the only life that we have any interest in.
So those are the things to which you give forethought and planning and articulating. Otherwise, it's moment to moment.
Well, I don't really give forethought to that either, because I certainly wasn't going to talk about this today.
Who is that to staff?
Yeah, right.
You don't think of that either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's crack staff.
Stupid disciples.
No, I mean, we even get the dates wrong when we're going to celebrate the feasts. Or I do.
Or send out memos with that.
Yeah.
That's what Josanna does. Yeah.
Live with it.
No, but it's the point. The point of all this is we can do nothing right. And so we don't think about whether we're doing something or not. I just be.
Well, that's what it means for the law to shut up your mouth. That means not only can you get little things like this right, you can't get anything right. But
that's right.
Even the important things.
Well, plus the fact that if you really analyze yourself, you know, and I've said this so often, it's become a cliche, but if you, I want you to really do it. Your mind has not once in your entire life been your friend. It's always talking to you about things that aren't there, things that have no importance. I mean, so why trust it? Why give it? That's why the whole mystery of life in him, it's not giving your emotions or your mind. You owe them nothing. Not even what your mind thinks about God stuff. Because I promise you, whatever your mind thinks about it will be to try to use it for something. Hey. Christ wasn't kidding when he said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to say. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought. Take no thought. And modern translations say, don't be nervous about it. That's not what it says. It says, take no thought. Amen? So read. I mean, please read and pray for the understanding of Exodus 20 to 23. I promise you, it'll if you read it with understanding, you will see I'm dead. Not just me, you too.
Yeah.
Holy's worthless. That's what it says in here. Take a big guy.